turn to your left or to your right or behind you and say, great to see your smile. So I trust you're smiling now. My voice was doing great until that last song. Then we got Pentecostal, and I had to be louder than whoever was behind me. This morning, we're going to look at God's Word together. We're going to look at a story, a parable in Matthew 25. This is another one of those Holy Spirit, as the Spirit leads, messages. We just finished a wonderful series on Jesus. And then last week, Mike gave a great word on Pentecost. And next week, we're celebrating, we're honoring our high school seniors. We're worshiping together in the 11 o'clock service with our Spanish speakers. So there'll be some singing in English, and there'll be some singing in Spanish, and then there'll be some singing in tongues you don't understand, but the Holy Spirit does. And then, second Sunday in June, we'll launch into our summer series on Acts, on the book of Acts, okay? So that's where we've come from, that's where we're going, and right here in the middle, we're going to share from God's Word on really a one-off message from the story, the parable. Many of you know it as the parable of the talents. It's also referred to as the parable of the bags of gold in one translation, parable about financial stewardship. In one, the New Living calls it the parable of the three servants. That's actually my favorite title for this story. So, a few of us have heard this parable so many times, we might tend to tune out thinking we know where it's going. So I took five translations and mixed them all together to come up with the Merle paraphrase. And there's one verse in particular, you'll recognize the Amplified version worked its way in. So I just want you, nothing's on the screen. This version is not on your phone. I haven't written it for the world. So just close your eyes, listen to this story that Jesus told his disciples. Matthew 25, the story of three servants. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and delegated his financial management and responsibilities over to them. To one servant, he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third one $1,000, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. The one entrusted with $5,000 immediately went out and traded with the money, and he doubled his investment. The second did the same. But the one who had been entrusted with $1,000 dug a hole in the ground and carefully buried his master's money, hiding it rather than investing it. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back to settle accounts with his servants. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment to $10,000. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. You are a loyal and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The servant given $2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. You are a loyal and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways. You are a ruthless businessman who demands the best and doesn't allow errors. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. He said, You're an untrustworthy and lazy servant. It's terrible. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Now then, take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most. For to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. And he will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. And get rid of this play-it-safe servant who won't go out on a limb. Throw this worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be great misery, weeping, and anguish. Let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you for this story. Speak to all of our hearts. By your Holy Spirit, let what is true remain. Let what is true change us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few quick insights I want to review. The main character in this story is the master. He is wise, he is wealthy, he's generous, and God is portrayed as the master in this story, okay? He believes in his team, his servants. He wisely delegates appropriate amounts to his team members. He communicates well, lets them know he'll be out of the loop for a while. He has a review with each servant when he returns, asking for a progress report. And he praises and celebrates success with his team. The three servants in this story share one thing. They all respond immediately to what they are given. Two of them respond immediately by putting their faith and putting the resources to work. The third servant responds immediately by digging a hole, burying it. The servants in this story are important, but they aren't the main character. The main character is the master. These servants in this story are those who are followers of Jesus, Christians who have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. We are those servants if we have a relationship with God. And this story is for us. This story is not for people who are yet to be followers. This story is for us. And this story is to give us a sense of what God values most and what matters to him. See, we don't put his kingdom resources to work in order to become his servants. We have his resources because we are already his servants. See, we don't do things to get his attention and become saved or to earn a place in the family of God. We are in that family through faith, by grace. So this is a story that is a little, it's a lot challenging. You know, I said it in the sermon notes that went out to you in Grace Life earlier this week. It's a time of year right now where things are being reviewed. Our students and children are being graded. When was the last time as an adult you were graded? It's challenging, right? To review and to think through. What is my fruitfulness? What is the result of the activity of my life? You know, I've preached numerous times from this text, mainly to encourage faithfulness financially. It makes a really good financial stewardship message. Other times I've preached this text in a more generic way, referencing the talents. A number of translations don't call this $5,000, $2,000, $1,000. A number of the translations call it talents. And that's kind of a weird word that doesn't mean as much to us today, but you can make that generally apply to gifts and resources that we've been given. And then it makes a great sermon to get you to volunteer and do things faithfully. And I've done that a few times. I'm being encouraged to go for that one. And that certainly is in this text, but there's even more. 2 years ago, I read this passage while I was on a 5-day silent retreat. I read it from the Message paraphrase. And what profoundly impacted me was that phrase, "It's criminal to live life cautiously like that." I'd never identified with that third servant when I read the passage, but when I saw how careful or how cautious and comfortable I was living, I was pricked by the Holy Spirit. I was convicted in a good way. And today, as I share this story with you, I feel like there's a new emphasis that I want to express. See, God's word is like that. It continually speaks truth to us in whatever season we're at. Isn't it amazing? I bet there are some people here who have read this story 1,000 times or more, and there's still new truth that God will open up to us. So here's one of the new things that impacted me as I was reading it and preparing this week. Actually, this impacted me a couple weeks ago, but one of the most remarkable things about this story is the three servants that he was giving his kingdom resources to did not need new information or additional training to do what he asked them to do. Like, that's a whole industry today. I need to be equipped more. I need more information. See, we do not need more knowledge. What we desperately need is more obedience. Here's the second insight that really impacted me this time through this story. The master not only wanted his resources to grow, he wanted his servants to grow. He cares about his stuff. He cares more about you. And here's the big thing. Here's what I've been wrestling with. Am I different today than I was 15 months ago? And if I'm different than I was 15 months ago, is it a good grade? The servants who were commended got it right. They put their faith in action and they put the resources to work. The servant who was rebuked, he buried his resources and did nothing more. He and his stuff were no different after a very long time. That is sobering. See, I've always been like, the master was like, you didn't do anything with what I gave you. It's the same. But I think even more, the Lord is telling me, Merle, be different, be changed, grow. Don't be where you were 15 months ago. So the last 15 months have felt like a really long time, hasn't it? In the last several weeks, God has given our leadership team the opportunity to do some of this reviewing and reflecting. We've done some honest inspection on the fruit of our labors as a ministry team over the past few years. And that process was 3 days, 8 hours a day over a weekend. And we did some reviewing that was both affirming and challenging. It is so affirming to hear God say, well done, isn't it? I feel like God is saying, well done to our leadership team for standing even more united in what he's called us to. I feel like our children's ministry and our worship ministries are continuing strong. Well done. We sang the gospel in that last song. We have new live stream capability that was launched last year with new volunteers serving and leading it. We have a new health team that has formed and served us faithfully and sacrificially over the last year. Our church family has demonstrated incredible faithfulness and generosity in your tithing and your giving over the last year. We've had a dedicated core of volunteers who've served us for the last, well, since June, so that we can gather in person as well as offer our services online. Some of you have served almost every week for over 11 months. It's incredible. I say, well done. Those are wonderful qualities. At the same time, I believe I felt God's, the master's rebuke, that we've missed some opportunities to step out in faith with the message of the gospel to our community. That's what I feel. The challenges, the adversity of the pandemic, the divisive election cycle, the racial tensions have caused me and more than a few of us, I think, to shrink back, to hunker down, and to want to just bury or hide our voice. See, Jesus is the answer to all of those challenges we've walked through last year, and he is the answer to everything we're going to face in front of us that we don't even know what. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus will give hope to people in every situation that they face. I wasn't checking my retirement fund earlier. I was looking up the lyrics to this song. Church of Christ was born. The Spirit lit the flame. This gospel truth shall not kneel, shall not faint. The good news of the gospel is what people needed all of last year. It's what they need today, and it's what we need going forward, no matter how ugly things get. And I am so glad that we stand in a position of strength. But I'm not satisfied, church. We don't need more information. We don't need more training. We simply need to demonstrate more faith and more obedience to the mission of God. Go make disciples. It's our vision as a church too. We want to see thousands saved and healed. So, I don't want to be heretical. The Holy Spirit will protect you from that, by the way. If I go off the rails, He loves you too much. I've already indicated I've preached this message emphasizing financial stewardship and generosity, and I've preached it stressing using your gifts and talents in a generous way to serve the body. What if we read this story with the understanding of people's lives substituted in the place of the talents or the money? Would we hear God saying, "Well done," for the lives He has entrusted us with? Maybe God has given you five people that you are uniquely or strategically created to disciple and influence for the kingdom of God. And if you did that obediently and faithfully, I believe that it would grow and result in five more people walking with Jesus. Or maybe God has given you two people that you are uniquely and strategically positioned to invest your life in. And when you do that faithfully, obediently, those two people will grow and bring two more brand new followers of Jesus, effectively doubling the investment. Or maybe God has given you one person to invest your life in, and maybe they know God, or maybe they are far from Him. Perhaps you are the one person that God has strategically put into their life to reveal His love, to share the message of Jesus with. Wouldn't it be sad if we shrunk back for any reason from that one person? Wouldn't it be tragic if we made ourselves unavailable to invest our lives in that one person? Wouldn't it be awful if we hid or buried that person? So in this story, the third servant says he was afraid, and that was why he messed up. I think we're all familiar with fear of some kind, but there are other barriers that cause us to pull back or to hold back from what God has called us to. Fear is a biggie for sure, but it isn't the only thing that prevents our growth and fruitfulness in the kingdom. The master in this story called the third servant out for being lazy. Laziness gets in the way of us investing our lives in others, doesn't it? Envy's a barrier. Envy is when we want what the others are having. You ever read this story and say, "I wish I had 5,000. Wish I had 5 bags of gold." And we get focused on what we don't have, and so then we neglect what we have been entrusted with. It's an incredible thing. We can be with family members and having this celebration, and then we'll get our focus on who isn't there and miss out on the joy of who is there. We want more. We want what we don't have or experience. That can be a barrier. Self in all of its forms. selfish, independent, self-sufficiency, self-preservation. That was a wonderful part of what Mike contrasted in his message, Pentecost message last week. Some of us are just too self-satisfied, too self-sufficient, too full of ourselves. Addictive behaviors trip us up and derail us or rob us from capacity to obey God and invest in others. Insecurity in general, a sense that I am not enough for whatever God's called me to. Insecurity will cripple us. Knowing who we are in God will release us and free us. Unforgiveness, this is another biggie. We had a time last month where we wrote down on paper and released and forgave people. Thank you for the word this morning, Scott. That was so good. Believing lies are barriers to us being fruitful and growing into what God wants us to be. Believing lies. This third servant said, I knew that you were a harsh master. And then he went on to describe a selfish, greedy businessman. That isn't who the master was at all, but that's who he knew him to be. He believed a lie about who the master was. This list of barriers to the kingdom of God isn't exhaustive, but it covers a lot of what holds us back from faithfully moving forward into God's mission. God's mission to go and make disciples, to go share the good news of the gospel. Our vision is to see thousands saved and healed, and it remains our vision. And again, I feel a conviction in my heart that we let all of the challenge of the past 15 months distract us from that vision, from that priority. God's given us everything we need, church. He's given us new life in Christ. We have a testimony of how He rescued us. He's filled us with His Holy Spirit. That was last week's message. We have the power to share with others. And we have the Word. We have God's story, His story of love, that He is a good, faithful, generous, loving master, not a harsh, greedy businessman. Our good, loving, faithful Father, God, wants to share and celebrate with His family. We have new life. We have good news to share. We have the power to share it. Yet too much of the past few years has been focused inward, I feel. Will we have enough? Do we agree on important things? Did our leaders even hear from God? Do we trust each other? Did we respond too much or did we respond too little to the cultural divides around us? All these are important things, but they are not as valuable as faithfully obeying God. I want to see thousands saved and healed and passionately following Jesus. The weekend we spent as a leadership team reviewing our fruit in recent years, focusing our hearts on God, what He wants for our future. It was really good. And in the middle of that significant weekend that we just shared together, there was a highlight for me where the facilitator, Daryl, who came and led our review, shared a story by putting a picture of his teenage daughter on the screen. Teenage daughter in a baptismal tank of water with her youth director baptizing her friend. In the middle of COVID, her friend that she's been walking with for years and praying for and sharing her life with, and that friend had been struggling with her sexual identity and other things, She got saved and was baptized. There's a party in heaven. You can clap. We cheered, we celebrated. While he's showing that picture on the screen and telling that story, I am tearing. Shock, I know. And so I'm crying at joy. And then I'm crying with sadness. When was the last time I was in the tank with one of my friends who doesn't know Jesus? So I just want to have some prayer together right now, okay, church? Why don't you just bow your heads and you can pray with me. Father, forgive me. Forgive us for being too focused on ourselves. Father, forgive us for being distracted by divisive voices. Father, would you forgive us for allowing all kinds of different things to hold us back from wholeheartedly trusting and following you? Lord, forgive us for believing lies about who you are. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the grace to stand. Thank you for your undeserved grace and mercy over our lives. Lord, would you give us new faith? Give us more faith. Give us even just a tiny bit more faith to step out in ways that you're calling us to. Lord, would you give us new opportunities to share the good news of the gospel that Jesus died in our place, was raised to new life, and gives us that new eternal life as well. Would you give us opportunities to share your goodness with us, to others who are hungry and thirsty for what's true. Lord, I pray for new opportunities with neighbors, new opportunities with coworkers, new opportunities with family members that we haven't talked kindly towards in a while. I pray for new opportunities all around us, people we know and love and care, and people that we have never met before. Would you give us opportunities? And Lord, I pray you'd reveal yourself to the five. For those in this room who have five people they can identify right now who don't know you, would you reveal yourself to them and bring them into your kingdom? Lord, for the two, or maybe the one, we have around our lives that we can invest in, befriend, so that they would know you. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to hear, "Well done." So keep speaking to our hearts. All through this day, all through this weekend, keep stirring. Keep showing us what is valuable to you and what really just isn't that important. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you, church. When we do one of these messages that we call as a team, as the Spirit leads. It's, you know, it could go in a lot of ways. You don't know what kind of ride you're in for. I want to invite you to stand. We have some ministry team members who love to pray for you. They're going to be up here at the front on the left and the right. If you want prayer for anything, if you want someone to stand with you in faith, maybe you want to pray for one of those people in your life that you know God has called you to invest in. Come on up and receive prayer. I want to send you out with a blessing. I want to thank you for being the body of Christ and the family of God here at Grace. So you can just open your hands if you want to receive. You can just bow your head. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is living, it's active, and it keeps revealing truth to us. I bless each one of us here today with fresh faith to obey God. I bless you with Holy Spirit power to share the love of Jesus. I bless you with a soft heart that's quick to confess sin. I bless you with a soft heart that is willing to forgive others anything. I bless you with hunger to embrace God and know His extravagant love. I bless you with opportunities to share Jesus with those around you. I bless you to live a life that glorifies God. And I bless you with God's favor and anointing and blessing as you go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, church. You're blessed to go, and you're invited to come forward for prayer for anything. Go.